hopeless cases. That's what the habitat around Saturn is filled with, malcontents and troublemakers.
And you've started freezing people, storing them in vats of liquid nitrogen.
Convicted criminals, the bishop retorted. And we only keep them frozen until they can be cured of their antisocial behaviors, he added with a bland smile.
How many have been revived? Stoner asked.
The bishop started to reply, then simply shrugged.
Stoner exhaled a sigh. Then, so in the name of right and good, you've taken over the government, from the White House down to neighborhood watch groups.
And made it a better nation, Craig insisted. A safer, happier, more orderly nation. A nation that obeys the will of God.
And you spread your power and authority beyond the borders of the United States.
Of course. We've also joined with other groups, such as the Holy Disciples in Europe.
For a long moment, Stoner said nothing. At last he brought his clasped hands up to his darkly bearded chin and said, In my reading of history, there have been many instances when a religious movement has gained control of the government's reins of power. In each instance, human liberty has suffered. Often, the civilization collapses. Bishop Craig frowned at him. The Roman Empire adopted Christianity as its official state religion. The Christians, zealous and certain that they were doing God's work, closed all the schools throughout the empire except for their own. They closed down the academy in Athens, where Plato and Aristotle had once taught.
Centuries earlier, Sister Angelique pointed out.
Nonetheless, Stoner continued, once the schools were closed, a dark age settled inexorably over Europe. For 1,000 years, inquiry was frowned upon, and acceptance of authority was the norm. It wasn't until the Renaissance that Europeans began to move forward again.
Ancient history, Craig muttered.
How many lives were blighted during those 1,000 years? Stoner asked gently. How might the human race have grown and learned and gained an understanding if Galileo had come a generation after Ptolemy instead of a millennium?
Pointless speculation, said the bishop.
Stoner insisted. Where religious movements gain control of the government's power, individual liberties wither. And without those liberties, there is no check on the government's authority. Today, right here and now, your new morality organization has the power to destroy civilization and wipe out the human race.
Chapter 5. For several long moments, Bishop Craig's office was absolutely silent. Tavallera could hear his own pulse pumping in his ears. Then Sister Angelique half whispered, Do you actually think we are heading toward a nuclear war?
Stoner nodded gravely. And you have other weapons as well. The biological agents that depopulated the Indian subcontinent are just as deadly now as they were then.
What can we do about it? She asked.
That's why we need to speak with Archbishop Overmyer, said Stoner. We need to start the movement toward peace and reconciliation.
Bishop Craig looked at Stoner with calculating eyes.
You mean to dismantle the new morality, don't you?
Not at all, Stoner replied. I hope to change it so that the movement can cope with the threats you face. If it can't change without crumbling, well...
He left the thought unfinished.
Craig began to drum his fingers on his thighs again.
All that you've said hinges on your assertion that we are building nuclear weapons. As far as I know, that's not true.
Stoner's wintry smile returned. Would you like me to take you to the facilities where the weapons are being built? One of them is in New Mexico, where the original atomic bomb was constructed.
Before the bishop could reply, Tavallera blurted,
He can take you there like that! He snapped his fingers. Such a facility would be heavily guarded, I imagine, Craig countered. Doesn't matter, said Tavallera.
Then, looking to Stoner, he added,
Does it?
Not much, Stoner said.
Sister Angelique got to her feet. I'm willing to believe Dr. Stoner. I think we should try to get him an audience with the Archbishop as quickly as possible.
Craig looked uncertain momentarily. He stood up, too, and then Stoner and Tavallera did the same.
Are you sure?
the bishop asked Angelique.
Yes, I am, Your Worship, she said. With your permission, I can start making the arrangements immediately.
Craig nodded reluctantly. Then he asked,
But what do we do about this man in the meantime?
Stoner's smile turned warmer. Don't worry about me. I'll return when you're ready to introduce me to the Archbishop.
And he disappeared.
Craig gasped and sank back into his chair. Angelique stared wide-eyed at the empty air where Stoner had been a moment earlier. Tavalera grinned and said,
I guess I'm not crazy after all.
Chapter 6
Bishop Craig was trembling visibly as he sat huddled in the armchair, muttering,
Protect me from the works of Satan! Protect me, O Lord, from the snares of the devil!
Angelique, still on her feet, regained her self-control, took a deep breath, and turned to Tavalera.
You find this amusing?
His grin fading, Tavalera replied, I'm just glad that I'm not having hallucinations. He's for real. He can do things that are beyond human.
Nonsense, she snapped.
He has access to powers that we don't understand, as yet. That's all.
It's a hell of a lot, said Tavalera. Her eyes flared at his minor crudity, but she turned to Bishop Craig, still sitting in the armchair, muttering prayers to himself.
Your Worship, we must act, and quickly.
Craig shook himself as if trying to break free of a trance. Then he looked up at Angelique.
We have witnessed a great power, he said in an awed whisper. Either he's been sent by God to help us, or...
His voice faded away. Angelique knelt at the bishop's feet.
Your Worship, he's a man, just as you are. He's neither angel nor devil. He simply has access to a technology that we don't understand, that's all.
That's enough, Tavalera added, his grin returning. Angelique shot an annoyed glare at him, but she quickly recovered, rose to her feet, and said almost sweetly,
Raoul, I've got to speak with the bishop in private.
Taking Tavalera by the hand, she led him to the door and the anteroom beyond it. The same young man was sitting at the desk there, intently scrolling through a long list of names on his desktop screen.
Wait for me here, please, she said to Tavalera,
pointing to one of the chairs lining the wall.
I'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Tavalera obediently sat down. The young man behind the desk glanced at him, then returned his attention to his screen. Angelique went through the door again into Bishop Craig's office.
Are you all right, Raoul?
He heard Stoner's voice in his mind. Glancing at the diligent man behind the desk, who was concentrating on ignoring him, Tavalera whispered,
Yeah, I guess.
No need to speak, Stoner's voice said. I can hear you without your vocalizing your thoughts.
Mental telepathy?
Tavalera wondered. Not quite, said Stoner's disembodied voice. More like a sub-vocalized telephone link.
I don't understand.
I'll explain it to you later. For now, are you all right?
Yeah, sure.
I need your help.
To do what?
For the moment, to stay close to Angelique. Are you willing to be my contact with her? And through her, the bishop, of course.
Nodding, Tavalera replied, I'm willing, but she might not be.
She'll want to keep you in her sight, Raoul. All you have to do is tell her that I'm in contact with you, and if she wants to see me again, she'll have to go through you.
You think she'll believe that?
He could sense Stoner smiling. It's the truth, Raoul. You're going to be my contact man on Earth.
And where'll you be?
I've got some exploring to do. But I'll be in contact with you at all times. I'll see what you see, hear what you hear, all that.
Whether I like it or not, Tavalera thought.
No, Stoner replied immediately. I wouldn't intrude on you unless you allowed me to. You have a right to privacy.
Tavalera almost laughed aloud. That's a hell of a lot more than the new morality's willing to give me.
Meanwhile, Sister Angelique helped Bishop Craig out of the armchair where he'd been sitting in something of a daze, and back to his gleaming, imposing desk. Once settled in the high-backed swivel chair, Craig seemed to revive somewhat.
"He must be in league with Satan," the bishop said, "to just disappear like that."